Praise God.
The Lord gave some other revelations and certain things that, you know, are so simple but just so powerful that, you know, they're right in front of us and sometimes we just don't pick it up right away. So we're going to talk about in His image. Now, in the revelation of being in His image, one of the things He said to me was, be who you are, not what you are. Be who you are, not what you are. And we're going to talk about being who we are and not being what we are. Because there is a difference. And when we go into that place where we become who we are, we become in His image. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26. In His image, be who you are, not what you are. Would you read verses 26 through 28 with me? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, one of the things that He has said, He says that God created man in His image and likeness. Now, we know that Adam was created not in outward character, but in inward character as male and female. Amen? God is male and female, isn't He? He's not only our daddy, He's our mom. So Adam was created in that character as in the image and likeness of God. Now, in the image of God is a representation that Adam did not look like God, but through his eyes he would see as the Lord sees. Does anybody understand that? Because God was teaching Adam to see what he sees according to his way of righteousness, truth, and purity of love. So in his image, God was creating Adam in his image so that Adam would be able to see what God sees according to the ways of the Lord. That's where the word image comes from, doesn't it? And that's where the word imagination comes from, doesn't it? So God created Adam in his image to see the ways that God wanted him to see. And it said that he created him, or what we can say is in the image is a reflection of the sight of what we see or what God wants us to see. And in his likeness was a representation of his character, God's character. God was imparting his character in Adam. One of the things that one of his characters was dominion, right? Authority. He created Adam. He said, listen, take dominion over all the fish and all the birds and all the earth, right? So in his character, God is dominion and authority, isn't he? Well, Adam was a representation of dominion and authority. The other thing was is in his character of love, which God was imparting in him. One of the other characters of God's image is eternal. So Adam was created as an eternal being in the image and likeness of God. Is everybody with me? Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now remember, Adam was now created as an eternal being, wasn't he? All right. Then the Lord God took the man who was Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So the Lord put an eternal being in an eternal setting. Does everybody understand that? He put the eternal being, Adam, in an eternal setting. The earth was created to become eternal, wasn't it? It was an eternal part of what we know is eternal. Amen? So God created Adam and put him an eternal being and put him in an eternal setting where he could train him and teach him, okay? So he could learn eternal things with eternal knowledge, eat eternal food with eternal rules. Has everybody got it? So the Lord put Adam in an eternal setting to teach him eternal things with eternal knowledge, giving him eternal food, right? Because he ate from the tree of life and he was able to eat all the other trees, and gave him eternal rules. So what he was doing was he was beginning to train Adam. He was setting him up for an eternal state. Adam was the Son of God at this time. Hallelujah. Now we know that the tree of the knowledge, now the Lord said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat of it in that day, you will surely die. So we know then that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not an eternal attribute. Does everybody get it? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a temporary representing death. So God put Adam in an eternal setting with all eternal things, but he had something in there which was called a temporary thing, and anything temporary brings death. Has everybody got it? In fact, the Word tells us that the things that are what we see are temporary, but the things that we don't see are eternal. And we can't lose sight of that because something happened in the garden because Adam was able to see eternal things right now. In fact, the Word says that he had fellowship with God, didn't he? God, he was talking to God face to face. So he was able to see eternal things because he was made in the image of God, where God was allowing him to see eternal things. All right? So now we see that the Word tells us that the things that we see are temporary and the things that we don't see are eternal. So there was a transition of certain things that happened. Now go to Genesis 3. And in verse 6. Hallelujah. Did I lose anybody? Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Okay. In verse 6, let's read it. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Now we know that these are the three ways that the devil tempts us: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And the Word tells us that anyone who loves the world is an enemy of God, because the ruler of this world utilizes these three arenas to tempt me and you. Okay? And this is under the ruler world. And verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open. Now you got to understand something, that it says that their eyes were open, but in true reality, their eyes were closed. What they were open to was a temporary realm, and they were closed to an eternal realm, because the Word says that the things that you don't see now are eternal, but the things that you see now are temporary. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, go to verse 24. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? So the Lord, he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Wow. Now, something happened here. Their eyes were open to a temporary realm, closed the eternal realm. The results of eternal being eating a temporary food became a temporary being. So everybody got it? So we have an eternal being that was set in an eternal setting, eating eternal food, and the Lord said, if you eat of this tree, it's going to be a temporary food, and it's going to cause you to die and be brought into a temporary realm. Now these are eternal rules, obedience. Well, they ate of the temporary tree known as the knowledge of good and evil. Did God want them to eat that tree? No. But he created man in a free will. He did not want them to eat that tree? No. They were eating of all the trees in the tree of eternal life, weren't they? Because they needed to have eternal food to sustain eternity. Okay? So they ate of the tree that was a temporary, or one that was going to bring death. And it did. It not only removed them from an eternal, it transformed them from an eternal being to a temporary being. Everybody got it? Removed them out of a eternal setting into a temporary setting. And now Adam and Eve would have to die. And everyone else birthed from Adam and Eve. Is everybody with me? Now, look at this. If you look at the word eating, I want you to look at that as the word fulfillment or desires. So it says the results of eternal being is because they were eating the temporary food. Now, here we have an eternal being eating temporary food. It doesn't work. You know what he was trying to do? And he was an eternal being trying to get fulfillment on a temporary thing. It wouldn't work. He's an eternal being trying to get fulfillment on a temporary thing. It just wouldn't work. And he lost his eternal body. He lost his eternal life. So, result, eternal being, eating temporary food, became a temporary being, close to the eternal food. Man was now a temporary being put in a temporary setting that needed salvation plan to restore what was lost. An eternal setting, an eternal life, an eternal food. Everybody with me? Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 6. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Would you read that with me? 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why? Because of the fallen nature now. Now everything that was temporary, they were in a dying state. Everything. The prince of darkness, right? The prince of the power of darkness of the air. Everything was in a temporary state now. Everything was dying. No matter what came to birth was going to die. Plants that grew were going to die. Man that was birthed was going to die. Everything was in a temporary state and no longer an eternal state. And evil continued to get worse because they were no longer eating of the tree of life. They were eating in a temporary state. Everybody was now still eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was passed down. And it got worse and worse. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine God going, man, I'm sorry I made man. God Almighty was grieved that he had created man. Now that's a profound statement, isn't it? That almost makes the result of God, who knows all things, chose not to interfere with the will of man. Do you think that God would create man to kill them? No. Because now he was going to destroy the earth, wasn't he? He was going to kill all mankind and every creeping thing. God would not create something perfect as for a temporary state. He created something perfect for an eternal state. But because he gave man his free will, he chose not to look into what he was going to do. Like a mother or father, if we knew something was going to happen to our child, we would be there interceding. We would say, no, don't do that. I mean, how many times, even when Eve was tempted by the serpent, she said, no, we can't even touch it. But God, who knows everything, sees and knows everything, doesn't he? But he chose not to interfere with what man was about to do. And he was sorry that he made man. Now, that sounds kind of wild, because why would God create man knowing that they were going to die and go through all of this stuff? It's because he chose not to look there. Does everybody understand that? He chose not to interfere in that arena. But when that happened, he already made a plan. Because man was already predestined to be in the image of his son. Well, his first son was Adam. Does everybody got it? His first son was Adam. And because Adam broke sonship, he had to send another one to restore sonship, who was his own son himself. So he became the Son of God. So he planned, he had a plan of salvation to restore everything that was lost. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, let's go to verse 7. So the Lord said, I will what? Destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. Wow. Come on. He doesn't make mistakes. But he does give man a free will, doesn't he? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we see that the results of a temporary being in a temporary setting with temporary food under a temporary ruler. You got to remember, the eternal ruler was no longer. Adam was an eternal being who ruled the earth. He was moved from position. Now, because the eternal being moved from position, brought in a temporary who was known as Satan, because he's temporary. Amen? So we see the results of a temporary being in a temporary setting with temporary food under a temporary ruler brought death. Continual evil thoughts were constantly birthing. Noah had righteous thoughts. Now the man was selfish desires, no fear of God. Noah had concerns of others and the fear of God, which was counted to him as righteousness. And God rescued him. So now we became a temporary being in a temporary setting, eating temporary food. And the Lord had a plan of salvation to restore us, actually what we could call is recreate us, and to his image of his Son. Restore us an eternal state with an eternal setting and eternal food, that we may have eternal life. But in this state, what we were at, what we are. So we went from be who you are in Adam and the eternal being to what you are. And that was a temporary being. And you and I were in a temporary state. So you know what? Now look around us now. Now you and I are an eternal being living in an eternal arena outside of us. You can never get satisfied or fulfilled as an eternal being eating temporary food. Never. In fact, one of the first words that the Lord spoke to Satan is, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because the only thing that you and I get fulfilled on is an eternal food. And every time that we try to go to a temporary, eat temporary food, now I'm talking about temporary food as desires, drugs, alcohol, lust, this, that, whatever, fulfillment, selfishness, greed, all of these temporary things, we do not get fulfilled on. That's why people go and they try. There are people who go out and shop and spend all kinds. They're all still trying to get fulfilled on a temporary arena, on temporary things, when they're an eternal being. It just doesn't work. We get frustrated. We groan, wanting to be changed. So when you and I were born, we were born into darkness. We were born in a temporary state, right? And at that point in time, that's where we became to what we are. And this is what we are, Isaiah 64. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 64, 6 and 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Hallelujah. But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This is what we are. And there is no one who calls on your name, nor stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And this is what we are. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We are in a temporary state, aren't we? Psalm 39. Be who you are, not what you are. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the carnal mind may have a little hard time. Wait a minute. What and who is the same thing, isn't it? No, it's not. Not in the spirit. Psalm 39 and verse 5. Psalm 39 and verse 5. Let's read it. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is vapor. That's what we are. Go down to verse 11. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely, every man is vapor. That's what we are. Psalm 103. Hallelujah. And verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. So we're like grass, right? We're like a flower that just flourishes and goes. We are dust. This is what we are. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Now, these desires that we have are temporary desires that are from the temporary state. When you and I are in the state of being of what we are. Everybody got it? It says, in verse 9 it says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will what? Pass away. He says we're like a flower of the field, right? Okay. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. But it says, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That's in the state of what we are. Amen? What we are. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So you and I were a corruptible seed, weren't we? So what we are was a corruptible seed. Amen? Hallelujah. In Acts 2:20, it states that you and I were a perverse generation. Acts 2:20, a perverse generation. Go to Jeremiah 7. So we were a corruptible seed, we were vapor, we were grass, we were a flower that withers, our righteousness was nothing but filthy rags, what we are is a perverse generation. In Jeremiah chapter 7, in verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23 and 24. But this is what I say, this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. So what we are is evil hearts. Amen? Be who you are, not what you are, right? Go to John 15. Hallelujah. John 15. In in verse 5? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Hallelujah. Well, you and I were fruitless branches, weren't we? Headed towards hell. That's what we are. Fruitless branches. Galatians 5. Is everybody there? In verse 19. We are now flesh, aren't we? That says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is what we are. We were flesh in a temporary state, but not in an eternal state. In a temporary life, but not an eternal life. Bearing no fruit of glory, but bearing unrighteous fruit. These are the fruits that you and I used to display. Headed towards hell. This is what we are. Ephesians 5. Hallelujah. And verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read it. For you were once darkness. Well, that's part of what you and I are, huh? We were darkness, huh? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. You and I were dead. What you are is dead. And Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. This is what we are. Now go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now let's go to who we are.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you got to understand something. He did not say that we were restored. He did not say that. He said that we are a new creation. So we are actually a new creation. Does everybody get that? You're actually a new creation. Now, your outward is not a new creation, but your inward is a new creation. You are a new creation where Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Ezekiel saying, and I will put a new heart, a new spirit in my spirit in you. And you will be a what? A new creation. And you will abide and obey my ways and my statutes and walk uprightly and bear fruit for my glory. But it is still a state of being, isn't it? You can be a new creation of an eternal being and still eat temporary food, which will bring death. Just the same thing as in the garden. Does everybody understand that? So you and I are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything has become new. Now, we are not restored. We're new, we're created. Okay? Our position is being restored. But you and I as an individual are a new creation. Not a restored creation, a new creation. Okay? This is who we are. We are now an eternal being. Romans 8. Glory, hallelujah. In His image, be who you are, not what you are. In Romans 8 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, we got to understand here, those who live in the temporary set their minds on the temporary. Their desires and their fulfillments are temporary. That's why they're never satisfied. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So people are setting their minds, setting their desires or fulfillment on spiritual things because they're a spiritual eternal being. But you can still be an eternal being and allow temporary desires to run your life. Has everybody got that? Okay. And verse 6. But to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
That's carnally minded is a temporary life. If your mind is carnal, if you're still looking and focusing and getting fulfillment on temporary things, eating temporary foods, you will die. Even though you're a temporary being. The same thing that happened to Adam in the garden. Does everybody get it? No. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it means it hates the things of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because Adam didn't please God when he became a temporary being. Hello? It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, we must understand the fullness of the Scripture. Because if you're a temporary being, and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, don't you? But if you choose not to fellowship with Him and obey Him, you're not walking according to the way of an eternal realm. You're walking the way of in a temporary realm. Has everybody got that? So it doesn't literally mean as for Christ dwelling in you. We have Christ in us, but we still have a choice of fellowshipping with Him or not, don't we? Hallelujah. In verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what? Now our own righteousness that was filthy rags becomes the righteousness of the Lord, doesn't it? Because it's an eternal righteousness, not a temporary. A temporary righteousness is known as self-righteousness, pride. But an eternal righteousness is humble, submission. Okay. In verse 11, read it with me. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's real simple, isn't it? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. So if you make the choice to walk as an eternal being, you will live. But if you make the choice as an eternal being to walk as a temporary, you will die. Now, that means what you eat. That's what your desires are. That's where your fulfillment's coming from. Is it coming from a temporary realm or an eternal realm? Is your fulfillment coming from man, spouses, children? Is it coming from jobs, using drugs or alcohol, sexual desires, is it people's coming fulfillment? Those are all temporary fulfillments. If they're coming from them, you'll die. But if you're getting fulfilled on eternal, you'll live. Hallelujah. Now watch this. In verse 14, come on, everybody read with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Whoa. These are sons of God, aren't they? So if you and I are eating the things of the eternal, if we have desires and fulfillments of the things of eternal, setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, we are sons of God and daughters of God, okay? Walking upright in His righteousness. But if our minds and our desires are set on the things of temporary, we break that relationship. Hallelujah. This is who we are. We're eternal. We're an eternal being, aren't we? So that means we need eternal food. John 6. We've been restored in a state of being because we've been created as an eternal being. He who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now what's happening is we're to... Now, it says those who set their minds on the things, those who set their desires, those who look according to the things. Do you understand? What's he doing? He's recreated. He's brought back. He's given us a new spirit and put his spirit in us so that we are now restored in his image by seeing the things of God. Does everybody understand that? That's why there's a difference. That's why people will claim to be born again and they're not seeing the things of God because they're not in his image and likeness. They're not created yet. The seed is still there, but the birth isn't. So everybody got it. And the Bible says that the devil likes to steal that seed, doesn't he? Hallelujah. And John 6, in verse 53. Would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now we are an eternal being, and we're to sustain it by eternal food. Our fulfillment must be eternal things of the Spirit. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has what? Eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Praise be to God. Eternal food. That's right. For an eternal being. Has everybody got it? Ephesians 2. That's why the Lord says vengeance is mine. People want vengeance in certain areas. What they're trying to do is eat something temporary. Has everybody got it? Fulfillment of the law of the flesh. That's why people grumble. You know what they're doing? They're beginning to eat temporary food. Oh, hallelujah. What are they doing? They're feeding their flesh, aren't they? Oh, Lord, help. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now check this out. Here you are, an eternal being, eating eternal food, and now put in an eternal setting. The Word says the kingdom of God is neither here nor there, but within. So you are now the eternal being in an eternal setting in you. The Word says that the outward man is perishing, isn't it? But the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3. Would you read it with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. As an eternal being, we have eternal blessings, don't we? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. We must walk in the arena of who we are and not what we are. When we walk in who we are, we walk in his image. We walk as an eternal being, in an eternal setting, eating eternal food. And whatever you touch will prosper. Because you'll change things that were dead and bring them to life. Because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Now, who you are can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Who you are, not what you are. Would you go to 1 Peter chapter 4? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1 through 10, would you read it with me? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Now you got to understand, he says, arm yourselves. Get ready. Keep your desires and your fulfillments and the things of the eternal, not of the temporary. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. So now the world's going to say, listen, wait a minute. You used to be a temporary being, eating temporary food. How come, what happened to you? Now you don't want to eat this temporary food? Why? He just said what the temporary food was. Drinking, revelry, parties, idolatry, so forth. Those were temporary foods bringing forth and producing death. And the world is going to say, what happened, man? They're going to mock you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to call you self-righteous because they don't understand what righteousness is. But you're no longer a temporary being, you're an eternal being. And there's a difference. It says, verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But to the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is who you are now. And verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now I have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And let's end with this, 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. Simple, short teaching. So if you're an eternal being, living on temporary food, you die. You're heading towards death. But if you're an eternal being, eating eternal food, you're headed towards eternal life. Amen. Too many believers who are eternal beings are still trying to get fulfillment in a temporary realm. And they never get fulfilled. They groan. They are tormented because they can't get their fulfillment. The only way an eternal being can get fulfillment is with eternal food, eternal setting, eternal relationship. That's it. That's it. We are eternal beings. And if you're still trying to get fulfilled by the things of eternal realm, you never will. Never. It won't work. I don't care how many houses you buy. I don't care how many cars you buy. I don't care how much money is in your savings account. I don't care how many people you lead to the Lord. Hello? I don't care how many tracts you give out, how many Bibles you give out. It's all outwardness. You must eat eternal food and set your mind on eternal things to fulfill an eternal being. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 45. Would you read it with me? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. For the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's stay in that eternal setting. And stop eating eternal or temporary food, that we may maintain an eternal life. Remember, Jesus became the eternal tree for me and you. Amen? We're to eat His fruit now to maintain eternal life. So as the Spirit searches you through, if there are still things in your life that you're still eating temporary, you're still getting fulfillment and desires, I don't care what it is, you're interfering your eternal being. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, if the devil can't kill you with ungodly desires, he'll kill you with food. He's trying to kill us, isn't he? People are dying left and right because of the foods they eat. They're shortening their lives, aren't they? Amen. You know, a lot of people think, well, I've been predestined to die early. I guess that's just my time. No. That's not how it works. We're an eternal being. What you and I do to this flesh determines how long we're going to live here. Not that God can't heal us. Amen. Because He can. But it's right. We're to be wise serpents and gentle as doves. So whatever you're still getting fulfillment on in temporary, ask the Lord for strength to release it from you. And start setting your mind in the eternal. And walk in an eternal realm as an eternal being, giving out eternal fruit. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you. We need you. We welcome you. Continue to guide us, Lord, and show us, Lord, in our life what is the temporary, that we may continue bearing good fruit of eternal, that others may eat of the fruit that you have given us as a seed, and that they may know you and see you through us for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen, amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah.